Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. A few years ago, Gary Hart, a United States Senator from Colorado, was accused of marital infidelity. When the news media exposed his sexual indiscretions, he decided to drop out of the race for the presidency of the United States. He later made an attempt to throw his hat back into the ring, but was not able to generate any interest in his campaign. At the time of Hart's withdrawal from the presidential primaries, I raised the following question on a radio program. Is adultery a legitimate political issue? I'm asking you that question for you to ponder. Can you vote for a man or a woman who is a notorious philanderer? In Bible times, as you know from reading God's Word, adultery was a legitimate political issue. If you think I may be exaggerating somewhat, please listen to this verse from Jeremiah 23. I have seen also in the prophets an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, and no one returns from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Jeremiah 23:14. These are not the words of Jeremiah. They are the very words of Almighty God. He was the one who was offended by the sexual immorality and the lies of the leaders in Israel. Adultery is a legitimate political issue because it involves a man's keeping his promises. When a man marries, he promises to keep himself to his wife and to her only so long as they both shall live. If he fails to keep that commitment, he has lied to her and to God. How can we trust men who do not keep their most serious obligations? If a man will lie to his wife and betray her trust in him, why will he not lie on other occasions if it suits his fancy? How can you know when a liar will tell the truth? The prophets in Israel were guilty of both adultery and lying. Are not adultery and lying natural companions? You could have one without the other, but they really go together like jam and bread. The prophets committed adultery and walked in lies. In addition, they strengthened the hands of evildoers. That is, they ruled and judged in ways which would make it easier and more profitable for evildoers to prosper. Have any of our governmental leaders, either on the local scene, in our state capitals, or in Washington, strengthened the hands of evildoers? Our government has legalized the killing of babies by mothers and their doctors. If that is not strengthening the hands of evildoers, I would not know what it would take. Our government has sought to integrate homosexuals into our military and into virtually every other phase of American life. Is that not strengthening the hands of evildoers? Our government has encouraged illegitimacy, discouraged intact families, fostered the dependency of poor people on the governmental dole, made it increasingly harder for religious people to follow their convictions, and committed other evils. Almost daily, we hear or read about programs which strengthen the hands of evildoers. I know the government is not in the business of converting souls to the kingdom of God. I am glad it is not. If the government were to attempt to convert men, they would convert them in the wrong direction. They would make them worse than they are. But all governmental programs and policies ought to make it as easy as possible for young and old alike to turn from their wickedness to a more honorable life. Our drug programs ought to be designed to turn young people away from drugs. In many cases, they have the opposite effect. If sex education programs are going to be promoted by the government, they ought to contain reasonable moral values. We must demand it. We thank you for listening. May God richly bless you.